Hey everybody, this is Chris, and I am Imperfectly Poly. Welcome back to the Imperfectly Poly podcast, where I talk about navigating life as a polyamorous person. This is not intended to be a guide to how to be polyamorous, or how to navigate life with mental health disorders or children, or any of the other things that I'm going to mention along the way. This is just my story, and all I can do is tell it, and hopefully you'll gain a tidbit or two, or maybe you'll laugh at me for my mistakes. But either way, I hope you enjoy. Take care.
Hey y'all, this is Chris, and I'm Imperfectly Poly. This week I've got an episode that came to me from a lovely little redhead, and I'll talk more about her in the next episode, actually. But for now, I want to talk about offerings and needs in relationships. Specifically, I want to kind of focus on what we give in relationships. There's a lot of talk about what we need in relationships, and everything's kind of centered on my needs, my core pillars, all of those kinds of things. And that's all absolutely wonderful. I absolutely don't want to take away from that, but it's as important to talk about what we give. So how do we get there? Well, let's start off, kind of set the baseline on the easy side. What do we need? What do we get from a relationship, and how do we figure that out? Well, a couple months back, I did a really neat relationship, a quiz, I guess is the best word for it. And a little bit of extra work around that to kind of find my own core pillars. And I want to have a whole episode on determining your own core pillars and some of the stuff that I went through to find my four pillars that uphold my relationships. But just kind of in the context here, I want to go through one of the exercises that I really enjoyed, and then I'm going to twist that around so that we can figure out what we give. So this exercise I found over on Lifehack, actually. And if you just Google, core relationship needs Lifehack, something like that, you'll find it. It's not too hard to find. I'll post the link in my Instagram as well. But from there, it's got about five steps that you walk through that help you determine what your needs are in a relationship. So let's kind of talk about that. Up front, where do you usually start? Well, a great one is your love languages. And that's what this suggests. It says start from your love language. And in this context, it's really, how do you receive love? What do you need to feel loved? Your love languages do go on both sides. How do you give love and how do you receive love? And if you're trying to determine the needs in a relationship, it's a little less about giving love and a lot more about how you receive it. And so, for me, one of my huge, huge needs is physical affection, physical touch. I know my partners, as a general statement, they probably get sick of me touching them constantly. And I can't help it. It's second nature. It just kind of happens behind the scenes of my head. I want to reach out and just have that connection. And without it, I feel empty. With it, I feel happy and light and grounded. And for me, grounded is probably the biggest piece there. It centers me back into that moment and reminds me that they're there, and it just feels so freaking good. I could go on forever. Anyways. Go figure out your love languages, both on the giving and the receiving side. But here, let's focus on giving. Once you have that baseline love language determined, then we can go on and let's do an exercise where we can create a list that we can prioritize. How we would do this is let's write some sentences that create emotions within us. You know, as an example, I love it when my partner, whatever. I hate it when my partner, whatever. I get sad when my partner, I, whatever emotion you want to fill in there, when my partner does X, Y, or Z, right? Do the best you can to get 10 to 15 of these. You know, use as many emotions as you can. Try to get, you know, a handful from each emotion that you think of. You know, pull out your feelings wheel and use some of the inner circle feelings and, you know, go through them all. You know, on my feelings wheel that's on my wall right now, I've got fear, anger, disgust, sad, and happy, and surprise. You know, add in your loves and hates and, or maybe I just feel good. I feel bad. You don't have to get very specific. But create a bunch, you know, as many as you can think through and push yourself there. Then, you know, you'll have this list of, hey, here are all the things that I need in general, right? Maybe some of them are, you know, a drop in the ocean kind of need. But they create an emotion for you, whether it's bad or good. And that informs you of something. From there, prioritize it. That's the hard part for me, at least, is ranking those. And I'm such a detail-oriented, want to split every hair that I can. And, you know, the difference between number 14 and number 17 is basically the difference between, you know, I mean, nothing. There's no separation between those two. And oh my God, it drove me batshit because I wanted to separate those and it just didn't fucking matter. Okay. Anyways, old Chris complaining. Back to the moment. Set your priorities. That's really important because that helps to determine what are you willing to give in on and what do you need to really stay strong on and say, these are the things that I really, really need my partner to do. And you can then take that and go to talk with your partner, right? A list is great by itself, but if you don't actually talk to your partner, what's it going to do? Inform them so that they can work towards that list, and see what they are able to give on that and what are they not able to give on that. You know, if you have a partner, hopefully you both do these kind of exercises together and that helps you both, you know, become educated about each other's needs. You know, and then probably the last part that you need to do, and this is again from that life hack article, is analyze your relationship. You've got some information now. You know what you need. You've had a conversation with your partner. You know what they are able to give or how they reacted to those needs and things like that. So analyze things. What do you like about their actions? You know, what's missing or are there things missing? You know, do you feel inspired by that conversation with them or do you feel drained? Was it harder than you expected? All of those kinds of things. There's a whole list of thoughts and prompts that you could go through to really say, is this right? How do we adjust? How do we get better? And go through that and take that time to really reflect on your needs and how is your partner meeting those needs. And, you know, I know there's probably some of you out there that are not partnered right now and you're saying, well, none of this applies to me. No, absolutely it does, because at some point in time, you're going to have a partner. And one of the things that would be great to do through your vetting process is to have the ability to talk and say, hey, here are my top X needs, however many. Give them 5, give them 10, I don't care. You know, don't give them 40 because that's just too much and you're going to scare them away. 10, you're probably going to scare them away. But, you know, having those needs kind of there already pre-thought through on the forefront of your mind will be helpful for your vetting process. But on that same token, you need to think through what you give, right? And that's the real topic here that we're talking about. Everything I've talked to up to here, you can go find this stuff very easily. Go Google about it. There's probably 30 different ways to figure out your needs and your offerings and all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot less that talks about what do you give to the relationship. So you got to think how important that itself is, because if you are not able to really sit down and analyze what you're able to give, you'll never know if you're the match for the other person. You know, it's not about just trying to shove that square peg into the round hole. There are adjustments that you can make, to meet their needs or change, you know, how you do things. So I'm not saying be, you know, a selfish asshole. There are things you can do, but knowing what you're best at, knowing what you're bad at is really important. And to have that already there on the forefront of your mind is really important. And you know, you need to make sure that you take the time to really think that through. So how do you do that? Well, there's definitely a lack of resources. I had a little bit of a hard time finding anything. I found a really good Reddit discussion where people were talking about this and kind of in general, and helped a guy or a girl. I don't really know, helped a person find out, you know, what their offerings are and what they're not able to offer. And that was good. But you know, I'm going to take it from just doing some of the exercises for what you need, do it in the opposite light. So let's take the example I just went through about needs and let's spin it. So, all right, we started off before with love language. Well, let's do that again, right? But here, instead of focusing on what you need, what you receive best, what makes you happiest best, let's spin that around and what are you able to give the best and what is the most natural way for you to love, you know, love verb, actively love someone the best. And you know, for me, for what it's worth, I tend to shower with gifts. I'm very much a gift giving person. Obviously I'm very much into physical affection. I'm going to just ignore that since I've already talked about it. But one thing that I do, I appreciate gifts, but I don't get a lot out of it, but I love to give gifts and have my partner, you know, receive them with a big smile and everything. And that's one thing that I'm really good at. So if I had a partner that was big into gift receiving, we are a good match there. And if not, that's okay. As long as it's not a problem for them, obviously. But that's at the love language level. That's real big, grandiose umbrella level. We've got to break that down just like we did before. So when we go into step 2 and we want to create that list, we should spin it around. So before it was, I love it when my partner does whatever. Now Let's change that around and say, I love it when I blank for my partner. You know, I love it when I can give gifts to my partner, you know, whatever. Now, to be clear, what you don't want to do is you don't want to say my partner emotion when I, you know, my partner loves it when I X. Why is that? You're probably a little confused because the difference between the two is minimal, but what you do not want to do is create a list of their needs. You want to create a list of your offerings, not their needs. And that's a very subtle, but very important difference. Because if you say, my partner loves it when I give gifts, okay, cool, that's great. But at the same time, you feel resentment while you give gifts. Well, don't put that on the list because you don't want to prioritize that as something that you're able to give, because you're really not able to give it. If you're going to create such negative emotion within yourself when you give gifts in this example, then that's really not something that you bring to the relationship. You may be capable, but there's enough negativity behind it that it creates a burden on the relationship that at some point, no matter how short or long it takes to add up, at some point that's going to create a problem that it has to be processed, right? So don't put it on there as something that you're able to do, right? Focus on what you feel when you do something for your partner, right? Now, if you want to add in, you hate it when you do something for the partner, okay, cool. You can create a negative list too. There's nothing wrong with saying, here are the things that I'm good at, and here are the things that I'm really bad at. Those two definitely go together. And that would be wonderful to have, to not only talk about what you bring to the relationship, but what you actively do not bring to the relationship. Cool. Now, prioritize that list. What are you absolutely best at? What are the things that you do absolutely naturally and bring you the most joy? So those are the things that you're going to do the most. And at the same time, you know, if you did the negative side, hey, let's go over and prioritize that list. What are the things that you loathe doing? Like, you will absolutely not do under any circumstance. That's good to know, you know. And then what are the things that you're willing to negotiate about? What are the things that you don't love? But, you know, if it brings your partner joy, you'll do it. That's really good to know too, right? What are you capable of doing, but don't like to do necessarily? Having that full spectrum of offerings and non-offerings, I guess, is really useful. All right. So let's take that. It's a great list. We've prioritized it. Let's go talk with our partner, if you have one. We definitely need to sit down and say, here are the things that I offer. And how does that rack and stack with what your needs are? This is the part that completes the discussion that I was talking about earlier. If both you and your partner do these two things, where you rack and stack your needs and you rack and stack your offerings, and you bring that to the table and discuss with them, where they have done the same rack and stacking of needs and offerings, you can find some incredible common ground that would help you build this amazing foundation going forward. And I think what it can take away is the noise. And what I mean by taking away the noise is it it allows you both to know where to not spend energy. You know, where are the things that you are doing that doesn't have the impact on the relationship that you wish it would? Where are the things that you would like to have, but aren't really important? And you can now just kind of ignore those things, right? And so that middle ground of things where they're kind of meh, right? And in my world, as a poly person, there's the question of where are the things that I need substantially and my partner can't give me, which means I need to either reevaluate that need or that relationship and find somewhere that need can be met, or reevaluate that relationship and how can we reclassify so that it meets my needs in the different ways that we require, or, you know, perhaps we reclassify into a thing that frees up time. You know, there's a whole options, a whole host of options around reclassification. So, Lord, that's an episode in and of itself, Lord knows. So, okay, let's keep on keeping on. We've now got a list of what we get or what we need to get. We've got a list of what we need to give. Is that it? Are we done forever? Is it change? Guess what? Unfortunately, it does. I've heard some of the different little quotes about how, you know, you have to fall in love with the same person over and over and over again, because as they grow, they change, they evolve, they become a new person. And that's so incredibly true, right? And so people evolve, their needs evolve, their offerings evolve. So I would suggest that this kind of thing happen periodically, where you go through and do this exercise of giving and receiving and see where it comes of it. Because if you do that, maybe you'll get the same answer twice in a row. Let's say you do it a year apart. Maybe you get the same answer twice in a row, but maybe you don't. Maybe something changes and it's just enough of a difference that you're able to get ahead of a potential problem because you're able to relay to your partner, hey, now I need this. Or, you know, in the last year, it's really gotten hard for me to do that. And you're able to find ways to adjust your relationship in little micro increments through time because you're having communication, right? And this is just a structured way to do that. So nothing I'm saying here is some, you know, genius revelation at all. It's just putting some structure that I found from Lifehack around a conversation that we should be having anyways. Communication is key, right? How many times have we all said that? Well, here you go. Another reason to communicate. So take this. I would recommend take this concept or something very much like it and put it on a 6-month checkup with you and your partner. Or if you're in the dating pool, go through it, boil it down into an elevator pitch kind of detailed level, and then have that ready. Once you get into that vetting process, have some questions ready that you can say, hey, what are the things that you can give to me? And here are the things that I can give to you. Have that ready in your back pocket. So that way, before it gets too deep, you're able to see, are they right for you? That's it. This isn't something crazy. It's just figuring out what's on both sides of the fence, not just focusing on you. I really don't have much else to say on the subject. I hope you got something out of it. I guess I'm going to end it here. I am Chris. I am Imperfectly Polly. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.